So, thank you very much for coming to the Shir. This is my first one for the new Zman. I can't believe we're this far into the Zman, and I'm only starting on giving Bav Metzia Shir. But we're going to make up for lost time. Don't worry about it. I will apologize in advance for two things. First of all, I got about 3 hours of sleep last night, so I'm hopeful that I'll be on the ball, but just be merciful. Where's Ezra? I ask him to be merciful. That's number one. And number two is that because the call schedule has been very hectic, I haven't quite done this topic the way I want to. But I have this week and next week with it, and hopefully by the time we're done, we'll have some clarity. What I want to talk about, as I mentioned at the end last week, is Tar Omes. The issue of a complaint that one has against somebody else for backing out of a verbal agreement. That's in a nutshell what we're talking about. We obviously need to flesh that out. But the questions I want to ask are, what exactly happens with Taromes? So what does that mean, he has a complaint? What does that look like? Pashkevilin up on the walls? Like, what does that mean? I don't know, but yet. Hopefully in an hour we will. Second question is, what triggers Taromes exactly? Is this really just he backed out on a verbal agreement? Is there anything more to it? What are the factors here? And third, something that really we'll probably not get into until next week, but we'll see some of it already this week. Part of the problem here is that these topics all sort of interweave. What is the relationship between taromes and what's called mechusar amana, when somebody is considered to be someone who acts in bad faith? Because that's another term. We actually usually find the term mechusar amana used with the term ein ruach hachamim nocha himenu, which has two possible explanations, right? How would you translate ein ruach hachamim nocha himenu? Either the Chacham aren't happy with his behavior, or the spirit of Chachamim does not waft forth from him, or something along those lines. But it's funny because you could take that phrase and translate it either way. They both more or less convey this isn't the way you're supposed to behave. But that goes along with Mechusar Amana, and the question is going to be, so what's the difference between a type of behavior which causes Taromes and type of behavior which we label Mechusar Amana? Is there a difference? If there isn't a difference, why do we have two different terms? Sorry?
You don't trust involved.
Right, but the question is going to be, what kind of behavior triggers which, and why is there a difference? Again, we have to get into this. So in order to start us off, before we can even discuss what Taromes looks like, I want to look at three, which are really four, cases in which Taromes is triggered. There are more than these cases found in Shas. We will see more than these cases by the time we're done. But these are sort of core cases for establishing the scaffold to frame our understanding of the category. So the first case is the one we've already discussed. Rabbi Bergman used it in his shiur. And that is from the beginning of our Perek HaSocher Ezo Omnin. I am glad to see so many people brought their own Gemaras, because even though I do put it on the source sheet, really, I mean, learn out of your Gemara. Write in your Gemara. Live with the, you know, that's the way it ought to be. So for those who are able to carry it around, granted we could have picked a shorter Masechta, I wholeheartedly approve. So this case is a case in which parties in an employment agreement back out or trick each other. And we're going to talk about where the employer did something to the employees and where the employees did something to the employer. So take a look. If you're using the sheets, it's Aleph. If you're using your Gemara, it's the beginning of the Perek Bav Metzia Ayin Hei Umid Beis. The Mishnah said, HaSocher Esa Umnin V'Hidu Zeze Ein Lehem Zel Ze Ala Taromes. In the event that you hire Umnin, we'll translate them as craftsmen. We're not going to discuss Sechir, Kablan, and all that here right now. You hire workers, V'Hidu Zeze, and they tricked each other. All they have is taromes. So the Gemara asks, "Chazu ze bazelo katani, ela hitu ze ze." You didn't say that they recanted on each other. You said they tricked each other. Da'atu polim ahadadi. And what's going on is actually that the workers trick each other, not that the boss tricked the workers. Workers tricked workers. How did that happen? Hechidami. So, de Omar le Balabayas, zeal ogerli polim, v'azal ihu ve'ad inhu. The answer is, what we're talking about is, the boss turned to his guy and said to him, go hire workers for me. And this fellow, who we'll call a contractor for this purpose, even though that's technically inaccurate, but it works, his agent, his contractor, went out and hired workers, v'azal ihu ve'ad inhu, but he tricked them. And then the Gemara asks, well, how did he trick them? Is it that the boss offered $5, but he only told them they were getting it $4? Is it, you know, different types of permutations? And in the permutations, you get the points that I bulleted here in the Gemara. The Amar Lahu, the shaliach of the Balabayas, as I added in brackets, the contractor said to them, Scharchem al Balabayas, your pay will be handled by the boss. And then, and here again, the words in brackets are my own. He promised more than what the boss had offered. Thank you, Alex. The boss had actually offered, let's say, four. He says, the boss is going to pay you five. It's on the boss. V'lefzi pa'ol amechi miskeri. So the Gemara says, well, let's see. Let's see what workers normally make. What does a salary normally look like? Meaning, if they normally would be making five, right, and you promised them four, but on the account of the Balabayas, they have an argument, which is, you cheated us of the chance to get five because we could get five. That's what workers make. On the other hand, if the going rate really is four, and they agreed to four, you weren't going to get more than four elsewhere anyway. So, see what the going rate is. Lo, tzricha de eager de meger bar ba, the ika de misker betzlasa. So here I am giving you four and five as my example, but the Gemara's example is three and four. This is an example of what happens when you have 3 hours of sleep. So he says, the case is where some workers make four, and some workers make three. There isn't a definitive going rate that he's been cheating them on or otherwise fooling them. The Amrulay, they say to him, they say the only reason we were willing to go along with this was because you were offering us the higher part of the going rate, but in the event that you had said three, you know what we would have done? We would have gotten ourselves a $4 job somewhere else. So therefore, you actually caused us not to make that money. Or alternatively, it's actually not the agent, it's not the contractor, it's the boss himself who did this. The Amrulay, he told them four, he plans to pay them three, and they say to him, and I'm just going to go a little quicker in this story now because it doesn't affect our Taromas discussion, just the basic case. They said to him, because you said four, that's why we accepted the job. If you had said three, we never would have agreed to work for you. That's beneath us. We are really good workers. Alternatively, what we're talking about is the poelim that are involved. Actually, it's from the poelim side, from the worker side, and they say, you told us four, and therefore we worked and put our effort into it to do a $4 job. Right? It's worthy of the $4 job. And it's again, potentially workers fooling workers. Or alternatively, the boss said four, the shaliach said, the agent said, the contractor said three, and if you'll tell me, well, who cares? They agreed to three. What's the big deal? The answer is no. Les lecha timna tov miba'alav. Don't you believe in the idea in this pasuk that you shouldn't withhold good from those who literally own it, but it doesn't mean own it. Those who deserve it. Meaning, we should have gotten four because that was what it was supposed to be. This was wrong. In all of these cases, there's a conflict between what is promised and what is delivered. That's the bottom line. And then the Gemara says we can go in an entirely different direction with this and say, actually, it's chazru. It's not hidu. It's not that there was a trick involved about what the price was going to be for the work. Rather, it was a matter of backing out. And the issue was that you hired the workers and either the boss backed out of the deal, or the workers backed out of the deal, and all you have is Taromes assuming that they didn't show up for the job. The upshot of this discussion in Source Aleph is that it's where the employees contractor, subcontractor, whatever, tricked each other in terms of wages. It's where the boss tricked the workers in terms of the wages. It's where the boss backed out or the workers backed out. The common denominator in all of these cases, with all of these different types of tricks, is that fundamentally all you had was the verbal agreement. Right? Jerry already quoted it. We don't need it to rehash it, you know, every single time. But it's true. Your verbal agreement, it has no binding power. If you take a look at source B, Rashi says it, Einlan zelzel latar omes da'omar lahen, taskiru atzmachem la'acherim. He says to them, hire yourself out to other people. You don't like it? Go get a job elsewhere. Be'inunami yomrole, kihadrubu, kihadrubu. Or when they walk away, they say to him, say yisrach acherim, go get other workers. Umi utar omes I. There is a claim. It's not as though there's no ability to complain. Because after all, he's going to have to get new workers. They're going to have to get new bosses. They have to get a job. So it's not as though nothing has been done wrong. But there's no financial claim. Because the whole thing was just verbal. Straightforward. Got it? Okay. Second case. The case of the rented donkey. It's Ayin Tesem Ba'alef for those who are using their Gemaras on our sheets in Source Gimel.
The second thing.
Yeah.
They have to work and go to the worker, whether it's the place to work or to start to see the market.
So he did not yet actually go to work. Once he goes to work, that's where Bergman was talking about last week. Maybe that shows an investment that creates a kinyan. Right now, all we have is some kind of agreement. Correct. In Ayin Tes, we talk about renting a donkey. Amarav Baravuna Marav. Hasocheres Hachamor Lirkov Aleha Umesalo Bachatzi Aderech. You hired a donkey, you want to carry your merchandise somewhere, and the donkey doesn't make it. The donkey dies halfway through. As we're going to see in Rashi, the assumption is that the donkey was not really rated for this task in the first place. It's not that this was just, you know, the donkey had some kind of encounter with a guillotine, you know, halfway through the road. That's not what we're talking about. The donkey really couldn't do this trip. But the owner of the donkey is trying to get his last dollar out of the donkey, and so he rents it out and figures, well, let's see, maybe he'll make it. He made it the last time, maybe he'll make it this time also. And the donkey dies halfway through the trip. What happens? No sin lo scharo shel chatzi aderech. So the first opinion here, in the Gemara, Rav Baravuna says, quoting Rav, he says the rule is you, the renter, the person who rented the donkey, have to pay the donkey owner for the half part that you actually traveled with the donkey, the Eimo Olav Ela Taromes, and you can only complain. That's all you got, and that's where Rashi says the complaint is you rented me a weak donkey. So the Gemara says, time out. Hey Chidami, what's your case? If there are other donkeys available to rent, so, alright, you had one donkey, now you have another donkey. Taromas Mayabite, what's your complaint? And in the event that it's not that there are other donkeys available to rent, Agra Boyle Mesavlay. Now, the Chavrusa commentary on the Gemara reads this one way, but I think they misunderstood the line. And I did my question mark exclamation point to highlight the way I think this line should be read. The Chavrusa line reads it as, the owner should pay him for half the route. In other words, the owner should pay you. That's the way he reads the line. Agra Baila Mesivle exclamation point. But I don't think that's the way to read the Gemara. The way to read the Gemara is, Ego Shtech Lagure, if you can't get any other donkey, then why am I paying him for half the route? Why do I have to pay him for taking me this far and stranding me? I think that's the straightforward read of the Gemara. I don't understand what they did there. I think that's the correct... No, when you read the Gemara, that was the correct read?
Yeah, I mean, right. You could understand what they're saying is meaning he just has to give him back
right.
Money. That's, but I mean, we're assuming he paid him.
I think they're trying to create a scenario where you can only go from point A to point B.
Right.
And you got stuck at point C. You then should get back to point A.
Right.
So Incidentally, you only need to pay me the trip to go from C to A so I can get another dungeon from A to B.
You need to pay me in order to be able to get back. But the flow of the Gemara doesn't work that way, and the next line doesn't work that way, because the Gemara's answer to it is, la'olam de lo shkiach la'agure. He says, no, it's talking about whether there isn't, indeed, any donkey around to rent. Umishum de omar lay, because the owner, I added in, balabais, the owner says to the renter, ilu bois lemesi ad hacha, la'agra bois lemesav. Look, you know, had you wanted to go here, it would have been perfect. So of course you have to pay me for it. If you would have wanted, right, you're traveling from, you want to take your goods from Toronto to New York City. Okay? You took the donkey, and the donkey broke down in Batavia. And he says to you, yeah, but maybe if you had wanted to go to Batavia, this would have been perfect. You would have had to pay me to take it to Batavia. You read this and you're like, what, are you serious? Like, is that really what you meant? So Tosos says, no, that can't be. Take away the Tosos source dollar.
At all? Sorry, he was going?
What?
Did he tell him at all where he was
going? Yeah, of course he told him. He has to know where his donkey's going, right?
They were at Edam on the place, the destination.
Yeah, I mean, the donkey has to get to the U-Haul place in New York City for the next person to rent it, because he's not bringing the donkey back. Maybe he is. I mean, would have been, I don't know. But the whole idea makes no sense. The Tosfos says it makes no sense. Tosfos asks in Dalet, Ilu ad hacha bois lemesi lav agra bois lemesav. Tema. Da hashta mia da lav ad hacha bois lemesi lav yidem osachar. That's great, but I didn't want to go to Batavia. What are you talking about? Why should I have to pay you for taking me somewhere I didn't want to go? V'yesh lomar. So he says, you could give the following answer. D'hadika amar la'olam de lo sheach la'agure. That when it says there are no other donkeys around to rent, haynu lefi osan damim shehiskir mizeh. That means at the same price, the same rate that you got the first donkey for. However, he could pay a little more, and then he will get a donkey. He just doesn't want to. But according to that, he did benefit from getting to this point, because he's going to hire a donkey from Batavia to New York City. Mm-hmm. He's not going to pay what he would have paid from Toronto to New York City. So yeah, you have to pay a little more, but you did profit. Not profit, you benefited from the first half of the journey. Alright, so you paid whatever it took to get you here. This is a side point, actually, so I'll hold off on that, because it's going to be important later, but not yet. Sorry?
Can I set up?
Yeah.
I know you didn't read that final point, but I don't know, maybe you're going to get to it. You are.
Alright, so I'll read it.
Oh, sorry.
No, then I'll read it.
I was going to ask a question, but...
Then I'll read it. He says, "Ve'ein sarach lichos hamaskir mischaro mashezeh nosein ata yoser ma'at mikan ve'elich." You, the owner of the donkey, don't have to subtract from your halfway fee the amount that he's going to have to pay. That's extra over the rent of the donkey that he's paying for from Batavia to New York. Kevin dehu anus, because it's not really the owner of the donkey's fault. He didn't want his donkey to die.
I was confused by that. I don't know if Rashi disagrees with Tosfos, but Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. But Rashi, according to Rashi, he gave him a chamor kechusha.
Yeah.
So he's not a complete honest. He gives the guy a chamor, a donkey that really isn't necessarily up to the job. So to me, this would be comparable to the Kaplan job, or Kaplan backs out.
Right.
And where I do have the right to deduct.
Right. So this is something I want to visit more next week. It's going to come up a little bit already this week. And that is the question of justification. Mm-hmm. Does taromas apply when the target of the taromes has a reason for his behavior? So let's give a different case, okay? We're going to see actually a case coming up. I hire a boat in order to take my merchandise from point A to point B, but along the way from point A to point B, I actually find a buyer for my merchandise. So the owner of the boat's not happy, because now there's a transfer and there's a new person taking over and so on. We'll see that case in a little while. But on the other hand, I say to him, wouldn't you do the same thing? Right? I mean, doesn't it make sense that I sold off my merchandise when I found a buyer, and this way I don't have to have the headache of traveling all the way there? Let me off, and I'm going to go home. So too here, the owner of the donkey says, it isn't as though I intended this to happen. I wanted my donkey to have arichus yamim v'shanim. Didn't make it. But it wasn't my plan. It was. It's not like it was actually a donkey with a time limit on it.
As far as I understand, usually it's something totally beyond your control. If you give somebody a donkey that's on its last legs, it isn't.
There are shades. There are shades of onus in halacha. Right.
Yeah, I think you'll have to suggest that he doesn't really mean it's full onus. Meaning, because the question it begs the question. If it's really a case of onus, then maybe he should. It's just not his fault at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have cases of onus in the Gemara where, you know, if I hire you and then you can't do the job because of some extenuating circumstance I couldn't have controlled, that's not on me. That's not my fault. Mm-hmm. So if it was really onus, then it's hard to suggest he's only not responsible for the extra pay. He might not be responsible for anything. Mm-hmm. So it must be some sort of middle category whereby you, you know, and on the one hand, it's not a complete onus and you're not off the hook, but it's enough that you don't have to pay this extra amount or something like that, or justification.
Yeah, I mean, the answer is onus in general has multiple layers to it. It's more complicated than just this happened, no one could have seen it coming, lightning bolt out of the sky type of a thing, like when you learn Shomrim, and they say they distinguish that from Gzeil Aveda, right? Even there, actually, you see it. There's Shogi, there's Karov, it's not always so straightforward. Jerry?
Godly, Rahman,
no.
Patri.
Nope. No, the original case of onus is rape. Right? The onus is lav dafka, act of God. Yeah. As you, what's that? Was that Roshnia?
How Roshnia?
Or not, forget it.
Donkeys
yeah.
When he rented the donkeys, was kidnapped. When he, the Balabite, said he can do the donkey.
This is, that's yeah, that's what I'm saying. He thought, who chashav? Sheikh Matzliach. From my perspective, you did this on purpose. No, that's the way people are. But I wanted you to catch something else that's going on here, which is the Gemara's first, before we continue with Tosfos, since we're interrupting Tosfos anyway, the Gemara's first possible case, either Shriach La'agure, if there are other donkeys available for rent, Taromos Mayavidite, then what's your problem? What should be the answer to that question?
It's annoying.
Yeah! My plan did not include that I should have to go find another donkey. Right? So why does the Gemara seem to think you have no grounds for Taromes? No, answer me. Don't just smile. Like, why?
There's no financial equivalent to that Taromes.
There's no financial equivalent?
It doesn't mean
why is that different?
There's a standard.
Yeah, Zeph?
Doing that.
Well, there's no money. This is Taromes. There's no money here anyway. Yeah.
And there's just no real tircha. Like, in the case of the Pauline, you have to go find a job. That's difficult. If there's a donkey seller, you just go up to him, give him money.
Where this points us, as Natan says, is towards the idea that even Taromes has a minimum standard of inconvenience, we'll call it, in order to be able to do Taromes, which is going to, again, push us into the question, what is Taromes? That it requires a minimum standard. If Taromes just means I have a right to feel angry at him, why do I need any sort of justification? Like, what is that about? But it's clear here that there is a threshold you have to meet in order to achieve Taromes. That, I think, is an important point to get out of this Gemara. But let's go back into Tosfos. He has a second answer. Again, Tosfos' question was, you didn't want to go to Batavia, right? You wanted to pass through Batavia. The moral of the story is stay on I-90. So Tosfos gives a second answer. His first answer was that you're going to be able to get another donkey to go from here to your destination. You're not going to have to go back to point A. You're going to get to go to point C, and therefore you benefited from A to B. And therefore you do have to pay him for A to B. But it's cost me more to go from B to C? Yeah, but that's cost of doing business. It's the way it goes. You can't charge him for it because this wasn't his idea either. Second answer, Inami, alternatively. Batavia is not such a bad place. You could actually sell off your merchandise right there in Batavia. There are lots of merchants. They only bring their stuff here. And therefore, you have to pay because he brought you to a place where you were going to sell your merchandise. That's all you wanted to do anyway. And therefore, live with it. your plan changed. You're not going to get to go out to dinner at a nice kosher restaurant in New York. You get a tuna at the supermarket, and that's just the way it goes.
More than Taro.
Where does the Gemara mention merchandise? It says he was taking the donkey to ride.
Right, because the assumption in general throughout Shas, I think, is that donkeys are used to carry merchandise. We talk about a chamar, right? Somebody who is a donkey driver who carries people's merchandise from place to place. Generally speaking, the assumption is, I think, that you're transporting goods. Yeah.
If his profits are not as high in the stadium.
I was wondering about that. What if he won't make as much money, right? We talk about the idea that he'll have to absorb a little bit of a hit in renting a new donkey, right. So maybe he also is expected to absorb a little bit. We don't get any indication here. It's a good question.
How could we know that for certain, though, anyways?
How can we know what for certain, what he would have made?
Yeah.
Well, you do have. The Gemara in the previous parak, when it deals with, well, two parakim before that, actually, when it deals with Onah, mm-hmm. right, does talk about this issue of you selling the goods in one place versus in another place. Actually, it's more in the ribbis discussion. It comes up in Onah also, but it comes up more in ribbis discussions. Mm-hmm. You're gonna sell it here instead of there, and you make more money there versus here. There was a known sha'ar. Cities had one sha'ar. Villages had another sha'ar. So I think you could actually, even though you're right, nothing's guaranteed, and there will be, we've shown him actually on our sugya, who will make that point in discussions we're not going to get to. They do talk about that. But at the same time, we do have this concept of the Shahr Hamakom, and it varying in a known way from one place to another. Right, Bergman, you were going to ask?
No, I just thought that it might be relevant to the case I discussed actually in the first year, which was the Zol Shafat, where I said,
yes.
Oh, I'm going to bring my wine for me to this marketplace, and then you'll make money for me, and I agree to do, and then I back out. Or again, you have this concept where, on the one hand, generally we say, if I just prevent you from getting money, that's not usually my something I have to pay for. On the other hand, there are cases that you do, so I think it's an open discussion.
Yeah, but it's not. In this case, what we're talking about is you're going to take a hit in the sense that you're going to sell it for a little less than you were going to be able to sell it.
Right,
it's Minyas Reva, which you should note is in the Yerushalmi, right? The Yerushalmi comments that right. A case of Taromas is a case where you're Mevatel Kisar Shel Chavero.
Right, exactly.
So you do have such a case, although I wouldn't call this Mevatel Kisar Shel Chavero. Mevatel Kisar Shel Chavero is much stronger than this. Generally speaking,
right.
It's where I actually prevent you from using your assets in a way that would have made you money. In this case, it's a little less.
No, it's not
a lack of will. Yeah, but Mevatel Kisar is usually taken as an aggressive thing, not like this. All right, let's go further because none of this is. I mean, all this is important for us to build the case for what Taromas is and is not, unlike the Ha'ara that we already had about absorbing a little bit of Tircha. But there's so much more that we got to see. Take a look, please, at the third sugya, which is source Hey, it's Bamitzia Ayin Tes Omid Beis, and this is the boat case. You hired a boat. Tanu Rabbanan, Brisa says, Hasocheres Hasfina Uparka La Bachatzi Aderech. You rent a boat, and then Parka La Bachatzi Aderech to be Poreik, Preka Utina. This is a very timely discussion for our parsha. The Poreik has many different meanings, but the meaning for our purposes is you separate, you left the boat halfway through. Presumably they stopped at a port. Right, you didn't just take your merchandise and jump off. But you left halfway through the trip, and the idea of leaving halfway through the trip is not only see you later, but it's also I'm not paying you for the rest of my trip. You walked away, swam away, whatever it was, rode away, but you left halfway through. So you now have to pay for half the trip, and the owner only gets taromes on you. So the Gemara says, "Hey, dummy, what's the case?" I added in the bracketed words. If the deal is that wherever he is in this halfway port, he can find somebody else to rent it. So why should there be taromes? I'm going to come back to that line. And if he can't find other people to hire the boat, then I don't understand. You should have to pay for the entire trip. Because he, came out here expecting to go there with wages, and you walked away mid-trip. So, hey, Chidami, that's what we want to know. So the Gemara answers, La olam de kamashkach la agura. What we're saying is that there actually are other people he could get for the vote. Ela ma'is le taromes, then what's the taromes for? Mishum rafsita disfinta, which we usually take to mean something along the lines of it's bad for the boat because you unload your merchandise. The new guy has to load his merchandise. There's wear and tear on the boat as you drag your boxes across the deck. That's the I think this boat came from the same place the donkey came from. Huh? And therefore the all sorts of fees. They have nickel and dime you. So that's your case. But the Gemara says, wait a minute. If there's actually like demonstrable damage to the boat, it's not just like a claim of a stocking fee. But no, you could actually show that things get scratched up, whatever it is. It's like a bay. Forget taromes. Right? That's a genuine financial claim. That's like a tort already. Ella, my parka? So what do you mean when you said he left halfway through? The following phrase is controversial. I'm going to read it through first with Rashi's approach, but we will see other ideas as well. So Rashi's way of reading the rewriting is this. Deparka letoane, I just lost mine. Deparka letoane bigave. Jump down to Rashi in source vav. Bachatzi aderech hosif lasis bachavilo shahayu lo lasham. It doesn't mean that he removed his stuff, just the opposite. He had more stuff and he brought it onto the boat. That's the issue. You added merchandise. You had a deal. You're going to bring X amount, and now you brought more onto the amount, and of course you're going to have to pay him for carrying more goods now. Bless you. You're going to pay him for carrying more goods. So the Gemara asks, Elamai Taromes, back in source Hay, what's your Taromes then? Mishum Shinui Daiza. Because of, literally, change of mind or change of personality, Rashi says, Hayisi Savor Lalechis Maher Velazar Maher. I thought, light boats, not much merchandise, we'll get this done quickly. Now, it's heavier, it's going to take us longer to get to the destination.
But he's getting paid for it still.
He's still getting paid, 100%. The Inami La'ash La'yisera. Alternatively, for extra ropes. And Rashi, it's on the next side, Rashi explains that the way they used to navigate the rivers was that they actually used ropes. And animals on the side of the river would help to pull the boat. And the issue is that the heavier your boat is, because it has more merchandise, the deeper the water it needs. And now you're going to have to be in the middle of the river, and therefore you need longer ropes in order to be able to do this. So that's the concern, as Rashi understands what's going on here in our Gemara. But let me go back a second. Before we
said,
The boat owner and the person who is renting it agreed to the amount of merchandise that the boat would be carrying.
Not that he
would
stop and get
it. No.
Where are you reading?
Rashi.
No. No, but the key is the next words. Yeah. No. What I'm trying to say is this. They had an agreement that said, I'm going to transport your goods. He said to him, okay, here's what I have. The boat owner said to him, okay, this is going to be the price. Based on what you said, I'm going to enter the formula into the calculator, and here's what you owe. And then halfway through, he says, you know what, I'm actually adding stuff. You told me what the rate is before, and I'd like to add. That's our case.
That's definitely not how we learned it.
No? How did you learn it?
No, that his name is still Litin Bisoha Kashir, so that he can put in as much as he wants. That's Carlos.
And pay for it. Yeah, no, right. We're fine.
Even to add, though.
Yeah, no. I don't think anyone's disagreeing that he has the right to add, but it's within the original basis for it. And he's going to pay. However, the owner has taromes because either now I'm going to have to go slower. Or because now I need more ropes. He could have told me in the beginning, and then I would have furnished it with ropes. We'll see others who discuss the ropes a little bit differently in a minute. But I'm torn because there are two points I want to make on this Gemara. You know what? I'm going to do the other views of the ropes and the mines, and then I'm going to come back to a problem earlier in the Gemara. The Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rivam are both brought in Tosfos in source Zion, but I'm actually going to say it outside in the interest of time because I'm watching the. the clock here. But you have it there. I brought you the Tosfos, broke it down very nicely in Sur Zion. Rabbeinu Hananel says, well, first, Tosfos challenges Rashi. He says, first of all, that doesn't sound like the wording of the Gemara. Right? The language of the Gemara was Deparka Letawane Big Gave. That really sounds like he unloaded his merchandise in it. Tosfos says, if it meant adding, maybe you could have said ligave, but bigave doesn't sound like you're adding more. That's number one. And number two, you're paying for it. What's your taromas about? This is what you do, right? You rent out your boat. Don't complain about having business, right? There's another guy back in the dock who can't find a customer. So, you know, be happy. Tosfos says that can't be what's going on. So he offers you Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel's version of it is that the person with the merchandise sells the merchandise to somebody else mid-trip. So somebody else is taking over. The taromes is either shinui da'as, not changing, it's going to take us longer to get there. Everything is the same. Destination is the same. Amount of merchandise is the same. However, the new renter may be hard to work with. He was very happy to work with you because you're a nice, gentle Trentonian. The guy who bought the stuff, on the other hand, is from Montreal. You know, very different personality there. I deliberately did not mention that.
That would be more than Saroman.
So Shinoi Das here is that you should know, that's an Oz Devarim. There are people listening to this recording who are in New York, I bet. So Shinoi Das, because the new renter may be hard to work with. That's the Shinoi Das issue, and that's grounds for Taromes. Or, Ashley Yaseira, the extra ropes, the ropes that are needed to unload and load the stuff that the new guy brings with him. The merchandise may be staying, but when you leave, you know, you take your toothbrush with you, and the new guy who comes in has a toothbrush to bring on. So, there are ropes needed, not ropes for pulling the boat, but ropes that are needed in terms of just, you know, taking stuff on and taking stuff off. That's Rabbeinu Hananel. The Rivam gives me another explanation. He says there are other clients and that are in this case. There are other clients and they undo the burdens that are on the boat. Sorry, what did I write the other clients for? I'm trying to read my notes and trying to understand what I meant when I wrote other clients. Let's look at the Rivam. I see what I meant. Okay. The Rivam's case is, that the guy is in fact leaving the boat, the way Rashi said. There are other people who will in fact hire the boat from this point forward. However, those people are not going to create wear and tear on the boat, because what they do is that they undo their burdens, big ave, onto the boat. So that there's no wear and tear in the loading and unloading. That's the idea. There's no wear and tear. It's not going to drag on the floor and so on. And the taromes here is, again, shinui das, because the new people are unfamiliar and maybe you won't get along with them. It's much bigger concern on a boat than it was with the donkeys. You notice that? You know, when you talk about finding somebody else to rent the donkey or workers for your field, no one said, shinui das! Right? But on a boat, you know, things are harder. The Ashla Yaseira and the ropes is that he is going to need longer ropes in order to pull the boat, just like Rashi had said. That's the idea. There are a few points that are worth visiting here briefly. First of all, in Rashi's version of this story, right, the ropes issue is that you need to get longer ropes to pull the boat, right? So why doesn't the passenger have to pay him? You triggered an obligation to go get longer ropes. So I saw a comment that suggested that perhaps the responsibility for the ropes is always on the owner. It's just included in the payment for rent. He's annoyed. He's going to have to pay more for it now. But that's the way hiring boats worked. Perhaps. I'm not convinced. But that's a potential way to answer it. Second, Tosfos asks a question here. If shinui das is a cause for taromes, right, is grounds for a complaint, so you could give the case in the following way. Say the cases where there are more customers who are available, more people who could hire the boats, and there's Taromis because he doesn't want to deal with new people. Right? Just stick with that. So he says the problem is that once we introduce bed for the boat in the Gemara, that becomes our focus. That's Tosa's answer. But the major point that I wanted to show you within this goes back to a question earlier here. We said when we started this Gemara about renting the boat, if there are other customers available, why is there taromes? Now, when we learned Ayin Vav Amud Beis about the employees backing out on the job, we said there's taromes because the boss needs to get new employees. So why is it that with the boat you're willing to tell me if there are new people available, then there's no taromes until we introduce Shinoi Das as a thing? Why? What's the difference between the employer-employee where there's taromes because they walked away, and here where there's no taromes because you can always hire somebody, you could always find new customers for your boat? Why, do you see a difference?
There's a commentary that says for the employer it's difficult to go find new employees, he's not used to it, but a boat owner is used to finding new people to rent his boat.
So we're going to talk about that idea later, not on the boat case. That's a comment we're going to come to later in the Shach from the Nemuka Yosef. But I didn't think they made that comment on the boat case. You saw someone comment that on the boat case?
No, I'm applying it to the case.
Oh, you're applying it. So you're going to say that it's less normal for an employer to find new employees and more normal for a boat owner to find people to hire the boat?
Yeah.
Could be. I have no way to argue that. Could be. I've never rented out a boat.
Renting? Yes. What is businesses?
Well, employers also hire employees. That's the way it works.
Less frequently, but you're always in business trying to get customers.
Okay, you can make the argument both ways, I think. Rabbi Yaris and then Michael.
So I think people pick up employees at a certain time of the day. Right? Mm-hmm. It's time to get your employees before 7, before 8. Mm-hmm. You see the way they pick up undocumented immigrants at work. And at that point, by 10 o'clock, there ain't nobody around. The boat is you normally stop over different ports, and you can change, and there are people waiting.
But you don't think that that's also time specific? Like they come out, those who need to get a boat come out at a certain time?
And they stop the boat at the time specific.
I have no basis for knowing what the time is. I don't know. Michael?
Yeah, this is the differentiation between employees and rentals in general, because for the Chamor and for the Sfina, both mm-hmm. of those examples, there was no taromas despite the fact that you need to find a new customer.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason, employees seem to be treated differently than rentals, whether it's a Chamor or whether it's a Sfina. So maybe there's a different expectation with regard to employees versus...
Right, so that goes back to Bergman's attempt to define Ho'olim as different. The problem is that the Achronim on this don't really seem to put it based on the expectation tied to being an employee versus being someone who hired a boat. That distinction while it's a nice distinction, I think it applies in many areas, I'm not so sure I would bring it in here.
Also, you're not just hiring a boat, you're hiring a person to, like, steer the boat, and essentially you are hiring an employer.
Well, you're
paying for the boat.
The same word.
The guy without the boat is useful.
I mean, it does say shkiach la'agur. I think, I'm not thinking too hard. The case of the Gemara is that it's easy to find somebody else to rent the boat.
That's the shock we're getting to eventually. But give you two answers from the Marasha, because they're really important. The Marasha does not appear in the Marasha. It appears in the Marasha Madura Basra, which is why I didn't put it on your sheets, because I couldn't cut and paste it and didn't have time to retype it. The Madura Basra does not appear on the Bar Ilan, which I think is a notable oversight. So the Marasha in the Madura Basra, and actually it's very strange, because the way it's printed is he has a paragraph for Ayin Tesamet Aleph, and then he has another paragraph Ayin Tesamet Aleph, starting again from the beginning of the daf, and I don't know why. But one paragraph about Ayin Tes, and then another paragraph about Ayin Tes. It's not Chidush HaLachos, Chidush HaGadlos. It's just there. I don't know why. So his first answer is in his first paragraph, and his second answer is in his second paragraph. His first answer is something that we have already hinted at in the Ones of the Donkey case, which is that when you have a justification for what you do, that may defeat taromes. In the case of the donkey, in the case of the boat, the assumption here is that there was no reason for backing out. In the employee case. In the employee case, there was no reason given for backing out. On the other hand, in the case here, he sold all his merchandise. So you can't blame him for wanting to stop here. That's what I was referring to. I quoted it earlier. To Meir Shah's point, he says the taromis exists in the worker case because there was no reason they didn't show up. The taromis does not exist in the boat case if you could find new people because he sold all his merchandise. That's one answer. So again, justification can defeat taromis. The second answer is that lack of strain defeats taromis, meaning it must be that you could find a new guy for the boat really easily. That's the way he looks at it. And therefore, there's no taromes. Whereas in the employee case, he says maybe it's going to be harder, and this goes back to Rabbi Yaris' point, perhaps, about the difficulty, or that's not actually what he suggests. What he suggests is that since it's that they haven't started work yet, and it's just a verbal agreement, he seems to veer away a little bit from the Torah point, and I don't know why, because he had a fine answer going. Yeah, I'm not really sure why he veered away and just didn't just say, and it's easier here, not easier there. But what emerges from all of these cases, I gave you a table on your sheet after at source class. Not a table, a list. Yeah. The number one, we're talking about cases that involve only a verbal commitment, right? All of our cases are just verbal. Number two, what kind of bad behavior triggers taromes? Cheating on an agreement with some sort of fallout. I put as the first type of fallout financial loss, but financial loss, generally speaking, you have to pay for. So if the employer cheats on the deal, right, Balabai Sita Sapolim is our first case, and there it may involve, in fact, having to pay, depending on whether they started their work, didn't start their work, what the cheating was, and so forth. And then you have the two cases that have no payment, which are the weak donkey, right? So there's a financial loss because I now have to hire a new donkey and potentially I'll end up paying more. And the ropes for the boat, having to pay for the actual ropes. Then you have physical loss. In a physical loss case, like the case where the employee backs out, that's also grounds for taromes. And what I mean by physical loss is that there's physical strain. I have to go out and find new workers. I brought a few in the Shulchan Aruch in source test. Hasochas apolim hitos balabayis o balabayis hitos. Some einlem zel ze ela taromes. Right? They trick each other. All you have is taromes, but that's for the strain that you're going to have to go through in order to replace them. Here, the Shach makes an interesting comment, and I brought it for you in Yud, and this goes back towards where Natanel was leading before. Ela Taromos, in source Yud. Because the boss can say to the worker, go get another job. The worker can say to the boss, go get another worker. Right? And therefore, all there is Taromos. And that's just a quote from the Torah, which is a quote from the Rush. Bullet point in Yud. From the fact that they say it's because of the strain involved, that means that Shinui Das is not an issue here. The fact that I'm going to need to get new employees and I may not like them, they may not get along with me, is not a factor. Even though, he says, regarding the boat, the Rosh, the Torah, the Mechaber said there is taromes because of Shinui Daitam Diish Acher, that's a different story. Why? Because you already got to know them during the trip, right? There's a relationship now, and they have to start from scratch. As opposed to the employee case, where they back out right away. So I asked the question earlier, because in my sleeplessness I forgot that I was going to do it here, of what the difference is between the boat and the employees. Mm-hmm. Why is it that on the boat we said that there's a Shinui Das issue, and there's some kind of personality conflict, and there's no such thing, there's no personality conflict issue regarding the employees, and the answer is not you're confined on a boat. The answer is the employees backed out before there was a relationship. So you have no claim. The employees. But on the boat, you already got used to them. You have a relationship, and now you have to start from scratch.
Yeah, but the Gemara doesn't differentiate. These could be the employees who backed out could be my regular employees. So I might have had a relationship with them before. The
Gemara, we don't know.
The Gemara doesn't distinguish. If that was the issue, the Gemara might distinguish and say, okay, if it's the first time you're hiring them, there's no relationship. If they've been working for you for a while, there is a relationship. They don't distinguish.
I hear you. But I hear you. But I'm not so convinced. But I hear the point that, you know, the Gemara could have made that distinction if that were really the factor. I hear. No, it's an interesting point.
Emphasize that, right?
Right. But it's true that it would be good if the Gemara had actually said so. I would agree with that.
Where do you draw the line between kaspi in the case of tarom mesuer? It's just tarom, even though there is some monetary loss, like for example buying a new rope, versus a situation where you say my money is like a bay. You know, it's more than just tarom.
Right.
Is it based on the amount? If it's only a small amount.
So the answer seems to be based on the things we've said, that as soon as there is a financial cost that was not anticipated and not built into the contract, there is a financial hit, and it's not just taromes. But the ropes, that was our answer from Tosfos, that ropes must be, not Tosfos, it was somebody else, that ropes must be part of the deal, that the owner always pays for them. But otherwise, yes, he should be paying for it. But the Shach then continues, and he says, Jeffrey.
On the commentary that the owner always pays for the rope.
Yeah.
So Rashi says, but you'll care that. The article also translated that. Usually he buys sufficient rope, but here it's not.
Right, no, he's going to have to pay more. Correct. Right, and that's
a higher amount for the rope because he could have gotten it cheaper.
Right, and that's why we had the question of, so why isn't he paying the owner for the rope? And our answer to that was, because, again, it must be part of the agreement, ropes are on me.
Yeah, ropes are normally on him, but here the...
No, but I'm saying the ropes are on him even, it doesn't matter.
Even when they call.
Yeah, that's the way it works. But you have to have a smart drafter of the contract. Ulefi zeh, based on this, Hecha de'ein kan tircha, where there is no tircha. This is the part that the first underline in that shach. Kegon shemotzin balabayis acher lahaskir es atzman, ein len olav afilu taromos. So the shach writes, if there's no strain involved at all, then there's no taromes. It's the strain that's the issue. And he quotes the Nimuka Yosef, which I gave you in the Mar Makomos, to this effect. He says it seems like taromes is only if there is tircha. And then he says v'nira umafari shinui daitam gabe sfina k'pirush Rashi v'loshach rak gabe sfina, and therefore he must understand that shinui das is boat specific. Because of the relationship you've got, it's only about the boats. Inami, alternatively, the Nimuki Yosef Mayu Bishalo Hurgali Mahim, meaning the Pawalim Adayin, that the Nimuki Yosef is talking about where you don't get to know them, whether that's, as Michael said, they've never worked for you before, or because they backed out in the beginning of the job. Ulefizat Sarach Lomar, but then he says, look at Ayin Vavim Ebeis, where we said, if there are Pawalim to hire, and he says, go hire from these, all you got is Taromes. That's only the boss to the workers. I'll say it outside. I'm watching the clock now. He says, the taromes in the case of employees backing out is different from cases where the boss backs out. Employees always go to find jobs. That's what they do. And therefore, they don't have a complaint. As long as there's another job available, they can't complain. The boss does not always go looking for workers. And the assumption is, and this is an assumption throughout Shas, just as a general principle, the assumption always is that employing somebody is a quasi-form of tzedakah. I hope to discuss this later in the parak. I just have to find which Gemara I want to hang this on. But but it's a fascinating principle in the way that you look at employer-employee relationships, is that it's generally viewed as a form of chesed. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Yiyu aniyim b'nei beisecha. The Rambam says, what that means is not, make sure your house is open to aniyim. It means if you have a job to do in your house, hire an ani to do it. It's a form of chesed. So so what we're saying here is, it's not fair to make the boss go look for new workers. But workers go look for jobs. That's the way it goes. So in the event that he backs out on the workers, but there are other jobs available, they just go get another job. No taromes. However, in the event that they back out on him, then he has the right to have a taromes against them. That's the other piece to this. The Magid Mishnah, though, on the Rambam and Hilchos Nivus, quotes the Ramban and the Rashba, that workers in fact have taromes, even though they can find another job, as long as there is strain in trying to find that job, which he notes as well. The last paragraph here in Source Yud, Ali Mashakasa Ravamagi Pertaskiras dot dot Dim Hayu Motin Li Saker Ainlahan Olavella Taromesh Rayu Omer Tsubaskiu Hatzmachem Kakasama Machaber Mashma de Taromes Mia Ika Lapola Malabala Bayas. He says, and I realize I ran through that, but read through slower and it'll say the same thing, that the Magid Mishnah's view from the Ramban and the Rashba is in fact, and the Shulchan Aruch brings it, that there is Tar'omes for the workers against the Baal HaBayis, against the Nemuka Yosef. So what we're saying is this. Number one, there is Tar'omes potentially for financial loss, and there may be payment for financial loss. Number two, if what you're causing is physical strain, because now you have to go find workers, that's a job he's going to have to do now. You're costing him time also, parenthetically. Then the Shach shows you what seems to be a machlokas. The Nemuka Yosef says Tar'omes is only if the Torah, if the strain is unusual for him. Whereas the Magid Mishnah, and he makes it into the Shulchan Aruch, says no, everyone got strain, and Taromes will apply. The other type of strain involved is emotional strain. So the delay, I wanted to go fast, and now you loaded more stuff on the boat, and now I'm not going to get there when I wanted to get there. Or Shinui Das of having a new renter on the boat, which is brought in the Shulchan Aruch. If you take a look at Source Yud Aleph, he takes that view on Shinui Das, the part that I underlined. There's Taromes because you caused him to suffer having somebody else on the boat he wasn't accustomed to. So that's the issue brought in the Shulchan Aruch. Now again, the Shach we saw said that's only if you got to know him. Right? Not if you didn't get to know him. Only if you got to know him, that's when there's a relationship. I saw an article by the Beis Havad, which is a Beis Din in New Jersey that has a kolal, they deal with Chosh and Mishpat issues. And I've been on their email list forever. Made a donation at some point, and I get emails. But they have nice stuff. They have interesting articles. So they sent me a piece at some point, and I saved it, regarding a case in which someone backs out on a summer camp commitment. And the question is, does the camp have taromis against them? So what they said was, if the child has not started there, so therefore there's no Shinui Das issue, and they can find other campers as well, then there's no room for taromis. You've satisfied both issues, right? There's no Torah, and there's no Shinui Das issue. He does say there's going to be Mechusar Amana. And that's something we have to come back to when we talk about Mechusar Amana. But he says there's no Taromes issue, which I think is fascinating. I'm summing up where we've been on this. We saw the different cases, employer-employee, the donkey that died, and the fellow who either left the boat or sold his goods on the boat, whatever it was that happened on that boat, as examples of cases in which someone has taromes. We have established that financial harm, where it's identifiable, tends not to be a taromes case, again, unless it's accounted for in some other way. Taromes is usually because of the cost of his efforts, the cost of his time, or emotional strain. It's where you backed out on your word specifically. And what we added to that was that, number one, even if the harm is unintentional, there might still be taromes, right? Like the case of the donkey, we still had a possibility of taromes in the case of the donkey, depending on whether you could find others or can't find others. That's number one. Number two, even if the harm is intentional, you may still only have taromes to work with. Just because the guy's a bad person doesn't mean you can, you know, sue him. And finally, if there is justification, there may not be taromes. Like the Marsha case on the boat. As one example, you sold your stuff. What do you want me to do? Why should I have to go the rest of the journey with you? So there may be a justification for canceling taromes, or there may be grounds to cancel taromes in the event that there is justification for what you did. Now, we did not get to the question of, so what is taromes? What exactly does this look like? So I will only show you one source, because we have like 2 minutes according to that clock. 2 minutes and 4 seconds, according to my timer. But I'll show you one source just to whet your appetite for this conversation. To show you that taromes is a lot more potentially than just somebody being angry at somebody else. Take a look at source Chaf, Shuv of the Maharam Mintz. He's dealing with a case in which somebody backs out on a deal. It involves a fellow named Gumchin, a fellow named Gumfrecht. We might go through the case next week, doesn't make a difference. But he says, Siyum of the Milsa. Sorry. Echtov Laman Yar. Rutsa Karebo. He says, I'm writing this as a summary, so it'll be easy for you to read this. He says, if he's going to hold on to the house, then there's a whole story involving a house, obviously, in a conflict, then you do dot, 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 the part where I underlined. He says, this person, Gumfrecht, is, or Gumfrecht, I don't know which one, is Mechusar Amana, he's acting in bad faith. You should make an announcement in shul when they get to Ashrei. V'zel shono gumchin chazar bo midvarav. Sha'amar sherotz lahaniyah habayis legumfrat lachach hu mechusar amana. So we are going to have some fun with what Taromes exactly is, God willing, next week. Have a great Shabbos. I can't believe I'm still awake.